Moncrief on News Talk.
As I was saying earlier, we're mindful of the fact the kids are on holidays, so this might item, the next item might not be suitable for younger ears. In 2004, John Romano walked into his New York high school with a shotgun and started firing. He was 16 years old. Thankfully, no one was killed, and John served a prison term until his release 6 years ago. Now he has 250,000 followers on TikTok, where he says he wants to help prevent gun violence. John, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Thank you for allowing me to come on and share my story with everybody.
So could you give us some idea, before you walked in to your high school, into Columbia High School, what was going on with you?
Yeah, so first off, let me just state that nothing justifies what I did, but I'd been battling with a lot of issues at home, but also a lot of issues at school the year leading up to the shooting. And basically, I got to a point where I'd really come to a point where I didn't have hope for a better future. I was suicidal. I'd been battling suicidal ideology for a while. I'd attempted suicide the year before. And it got to the point where I wanted not only to die, but I wanted to send a message that I was upset with the school for some of the things that they had done, where I felt like they had ignored me and basically told me to go away when I was asking for help. And I unfortunately thought, you know what, if I show up with a gun, they won't be able to ignore me. They won't be able to tell me to go away. And I wanted to spread pain and suffering. Part of me hates myself and always will. But now I try to stop other people from doing anything like what I did.
And you had received no help when you were in this condition?
So I had received some help from home. Thankfully, I had some great family members who were helping out as best they could. But unfortunately, when you're, you know, living in certain conditions, when you're dealing with certain things, you know, there's only so much that talk therapy and even medication can help with. Sometimes you have to be able to deal with the environment. And I wasn't able to get any of the help at school. Again, can never blame them for what I did. But in my 16-year-old mind, I wanted to blame them instead of taking accountability, because there's more I could have done. But again, I wanted to blame them. And unfortunately, I did take out my pain and suffering onto them and spread it to countless people.
I know you were 16 and you were confused, yeah, and you were obviously depressed. But what was your thought process? If you say, you wanted to make a statement, why bring a gun into school to make that statement? There would have been other ways one could have done that.
Yeah. So, but that's one of the things that, unfortunately, when you have a gun, it's even so more powerful than a knife or some other type of weapon. Firearms, you know, it's pretty hard to ignore somebody who has a firearm and who is opening fire. It's the biggest statement you can make. It's a horrific statement that you can make, but it gets the attention that it does. And it allows people, unfortunately, who feel like they're being unheard in other ways, they're heard through violence, which is a terrible thought process. But that's what some people do when they're feeling unheard. They lash out with violence. Yeah. And we want to be able to bring attention to that and hopefully allow people to be more heard and feel like they're being seen and getting some progress, some positive progress.
And where did you get the gun from?
Yeah, so I'd been dealing with a lot of mental health issues, and for a long time, my mom had been against having any type of firearms in the home. But I was dealing with my mental health, like I said, at home to a certain degree. Unfortunately, I never fully opened up to my mom or even to my therapist. And that's a really big hurdle that we have to overcome, is being able to open up to everybody, especially if we're seeing somebody, you know, like a therapist or psychiatrist. But it got to a point where everybody believed I was doing better, because on some level I was, but deep down I still had a lot of struggles. And when I had a brother talk about going hunting with me, my mom spoke with my therapist. She said it would be okay for me to be around firearms, and my mom would end up going and purchasing a shotgun so that I could go hunting with my brother and she could use it for home defense and, you know, target practice for herself.
So when you went into your school that day, you have the gun at this stage. Like, when you walked in the door, was it immediately you walked in the door you started shooting at people?
No. So I walk in the door, and honestly, this is when, like, it becomes real. It feels really weird to describe it now, but I felt like I was kind of on autopilot while I was going into the school. But once I was actually in there, now I've got, you know, the shotgun is still in its case, which kind of looks like an instrument case. I've got a backpack on. I showed up a bit late. There was nobody there. So I went and I hid for a little bit. And honestly, you know, when I was hiding in the bathroom, I wanted to leave. I got to the point where I was like, you know what? I don't want to be here. I was trying to talk myself out of it. I tried even texting a couple of friends to like somebody help me snap out of this. But unfortunately, I got to the point where I believed I was at the point of no return. And I left the bathroom with the shotgun in hands. And I want to tell everybody, you're never at the point of no return. You can always stop yourself. And we can always help other people stop themselves before it's too late.
Yeah, well, thankfully, no one got killed, but people did get injured. So you were aiming at people when you left the bathroom.
So I left the bathroom and I ran into one student who kind of froze in front of me because, you know, what student would ever think that they're going to be seeing that, unfortunately? And I can't imagine what's going through his mind, but he freezes in front of me and he's only a couple of feet in front of me, but he eventually just kind of like runs. And then I do come out into the hall. I see a couple of students. I fire kind of like up and away from them, kind of like warning shots, terrorizing them. But, you know, most of the birdshot went up towards the ceiling. I walked around for a bit. There was one doorway that was wide open to a classroom. I stepped into the doorway. I looked in there and I saw nothing but pain and fear looking back at me. Mm-hmm. And I wish I had never done that. I wish I'd never done a lot of things. But I turned and I walked back into the hallway. And, you know, my end goal was to make a statement, which I felt in that moment I did. I felt like I wanted to be seen and heard. And even in those just few horrendous moments, I felt that. And I was ready to die. And I was walking, basically waiting for police or figuring, you know, now I'll finally be able to pull the trigger on myself. But somebody, there was an assistant principal who had heard the shots. He was off somewhere else in the school, but he came to investigate. And thankfully, when he came into the hallway, I was walking the opposite direction. He was able to come up and grab me from behind. But sadly, during the scuffle for the gun goes off and there was a second teacher coming up behind us who was hit in the shin. And thankfully, his injuries weren't severe, but mentally, I can't imagine what he went through. But he was the one person who was injured. And yeah, I ended up giving up and being arrested shortly thereafter.
Were there, and around this time as well, John, were you reading about or aware of other school shootings taking place? And for want of a better word, is that where your inspiration came from to do this?
Yeah, so definitely. This was about 5 years after the terrible tragedy in Columbine High School in Colorado. And yeah, there was definitely a sense of kind of, you know, these horrific tragedies happening in these schools, and also just kind of like being like, okay, some people are sending a horrible message through violence in their schools. And so that was definitely something that, you know, popped into my mind. That was definitely like, okay, this is how people are sending messages that they're upset with their schools. Now, you know, I was obviously very close to acting in a way that they did, but a bit different. And yet, you know, I still take on the responsibility that I caused pain and suffering to countless people, not only that were in the school, but in my community.
Yeah. What was prison like?
So I spent nearly 17 years in prison, and I wish I could say I turned my life around right away. But for a few years, I knew I'd be spending quite some time in there, and I just kind of got caught up in prison politics and, you know, spending my days passing the time. But eventually, I had not only family and friends who stuck by my side, but I had some people in the community and even some of my former classmates reach out to me and connect with me. And I did start to get into like therapeutic reading and eventually opening up. There's not great mental health in prisons in America, and I'm sure it's probably like that in Ireland too, unfortunately. But I did start to turn my life around, and I spent the last 10 years of my sentence really working on trying to better myself.
Yeah. Now, and when you emerge from prison, John, mm-hmm. school shootings are still going on. Unfortunately, I imagine that the frequency of them has increased rather than decreased. What do you see as the problem here? That what's causing this to happen? Why do people keep walking into the schools and trying to shoot people?
Yeah, you're right. Sadly, it did get worse during my time in prison, which is why I speak out. But I think one of the main causes is there's a mixture of kids who feel like they don't have any hope for a better future. They don't feel connected with the people around them. They feel like they can't open up about what's going on within them. You know, it's taboo not only to talk about suicide, but especially if somebody's thinking about, you know, hurting or killing other people, there's no real outlet for them in a lot of ways. And unfortunately, some kids, they go down a dark path. And in America, we have a lot more access to firearms than other places. And kids just continue to feel like they want to send a horrific message. And, you know, most of them, they want to die. And even those who don't take their own life at the end of the shooting or get killed by cops, they don't care about throwing their lives away at that moment because they have no hope for a better future. They don't care about the consequences. And it's a horrific thing that's going on.
Yeah, but it seems to be a peculiar American thing that these violent events happen in schools so much. Why do these kids, do you think, have no hope for the future?
I mean, that's a tough question to answer. I think it's probably, you know, I think a lot of kids around the world struggle to have hope sometimes. But I think it's also the mixture of not just the lack of hope, but it's the access to firearms. Mm-hmm. We have quite a lot more of them, and they're more easily accessible here than anywhere else for the most part.
Yeah. How many people have you met from your own school and kind of apologized to them, and how many of them accepted that apology?
Yeah, so I've had dozens of former classmates reach out to me over the years. You know, I had some friends who stayed in contact with me even when I was in prison. But I've had dozens of people reach out to me over the past couple of years. I've been able to have great conversations. I have some people who reach out to me and they just want to yell at me and curse me out. And I let them because they have every right to get that anger out towards me. And I've had, you know, sometimes people, once they get that anger out towards me, then we can have, you know, they're more interested in having a more in-depth conversation. And, you know, I've been blessed in a strange way to have my community, at least parts of my community, are welcoming to me and willing to talk with me and see that I'm trying to help prevent anything else like this from happening in any other place. You know, I can't take away what I did, but I can prevent it from happening elsewhere.
Yeah, because you could see how, on the one hand, you're in an ideal position to advocate on this issue because of what you did. But also you could argue that you're the worst possible person to advocate on this issue because of what you did.
Yeah. So it's completely understandable that so many people are upset and it's controversial that I speak out and I have social media following. But in reality, we want to be able to hear firsthand of what leads somebody going into their school. And sometimes in America, we're able to read journals or see social media posts of shooters who are now dead. But it's different to be able to talk to somebody and to be able to get, you know, direct answers from them. And that's why I do what I do, because also when I came home from prison, I had law enforcement and people who work in schools started reaching out to me and asking me, you know, about my life and what led me to do this and asking me for help to help the kids today who are going through a dark time. And it just kind of grew from there. I went from talking with some local law enforcement. They asked me to speak at a conference on school safety. And the next thing I know, I had the federal law enforcement here in the States, the FBI, reached out to me, and it kind of grew from there, right? I've talked all around the states trying to help law enforcement, school officials, and parents understand how we can help kids today.
How is your mental health now?
I mean, I still struggle, but I'm better able to cope today. You know, I'm 38 years old, and I'm just lucky to have learned that vulnerability is okay. Opening up is okay. It doesn't make me any less of a man, as I might have thought as a teenager. You know, I used to think like that. It's okay to say you're not feeling okay. It's okay to say you're going through a dark time. It's okay to struggle. And I do my best to be open with my friends and family. I do my best to, you know, I'm into like meditation, and I, you know, I hate going for walks for my mental health, but even just doing that can help me out a little bit from day to day, you know?
Yeah. John, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was John Romano there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.